right, let's hit the ground running. Week 43, I was looking at kingdom. And we took time to see that the kingdom of God is not the kingdom of this world. And the kingdom of this world is not the kingdom of God. And Jesus specifically said, my kingdom is not of this world. So there's nothing like seven mountains. There's nothing like a kingdom take over in theology. The kingdom of God is the spirit of God in the hearts of men. The revelation of Christ in the heart of men. That's the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. That is the kingdom of God. Today we're going to be looking at persecutions. Persecutions, week 44. Persecutions. And the objective of today's class is to learn how to handle persecutions. To learn how to handle persecutions. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 28, verse 3 to 4, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 28, verse 3 to 4, and when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he had escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. There are several times ministers of the word are so badly branded by men based on certain experiences they have or have had, and mostly via wrong perception. Mostly via wrong perception. Here, Paul was deemed to be suffering for not being of God. They thought the reason why Paul was suffering was because he was not of God. Ministry comes with its warts and faults because we are dealing with men. And many times, not on ordinary terms. Many times, not on ordinary terms. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 2 tells us, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 2. I said ministry comes with its warts and farts. We are dealing with men. Many times, not on ordinary terms. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Men in positions of influence and such have spiritual connotations with natural interface. Those are the kind of men we deal with sometimes. Men in positions of influence and such have spiritual connotations with natural interface. For example, Ephesians 6:12 tells us, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Truth be said, this text of scripture speaks of unbelievers, but believers who are given to strive will act the same way. Believers who are given to strive will act the same way. We said the objective of this class is to know how to handle persecutions. Persecutions. Believers who are given to strive will act like unbelievers. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, Brother Paul said, for you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? They will act like the unsaved, and their approach may not be so different. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27, Ephesians 4, 26, 27, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. 27, neither give place to the devil. So believers do yield to the devil. Believers do yield to the devil. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 15, Brother Paul told Timothy, for some are already turned aside after Satan. In 1 Timothy 5, 15. Even leaders sometimes can yield to Satan, and Satan will use them massively Brother Paul's challenge at the Jerusalem church was such. In Acts chapter 21, verse 20 to 21. Acts chapter 21, verse 20 to 21. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. And they are informed of thee that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. The opponents of Brother Paul were believers, legalistic brethren. Just like the law, they are harsh towards the gospel. And when this happens, the proponents build impressions into the mind of their followers. These legalistic people, they will build impressions into the mind of their followers. For in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 5, Brother Paul explains the kind of warfare it is. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Paul's teaching here was not about demons, but a knowledge system that opposes the word. A knowledge system that opposes the word. And this knowledge system is in men's minds. Is in men's minds. Some will not want to hear the doctrine of eternal salvation because of what they have been told. Others will not want to listen to a preacher for what they have been told. They will not even be given the room for objective reason. I don't reply to such people. I just increase what I am doing. I just raise the volume. Hence the need for the minister of the word to never resort to the flesh. You know, some kind of branding. As a man of God, just stay in the spirit when persecution is coming. Stay in the spirit, preach, teach, and pray. Preach, teach, and pray. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18 says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The sword of the Spirit is praying always in tongues. So I pray much more. Ministry will always come with its own heat. Jesus had false reports about what he taught. Jesus also, in Matthew 26, 59 to 60. Matthew 26, 59 to 60. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet they found none. At the last came two false witnesses. They scrutinized his teachings to find something against him. They tried to use folks who attended his meetings. It all failed. Then finally, Matthew 26, 61 to 62, and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it which this witness against thee? They twist his words to say he was attacking Pastor X's teachings to find something against him. They tried to use folks who attended his meetings. It failed still. Then finally, Matthew 26, 61 to 62. And they said, this fellow said, I'm able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it which this witness against thee? They twist his words. They said he was attacking Pastor X or Archbishop Y. That's their ilk and pattern. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4. 1 Corinthians 3, 4. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? It is about men for them, and they will rope in anything to accomplish the evil work. Who is Pastor X? Who is Bishop Y? Aren't they God's servants? In 1 Corinthians 3, 5. Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. Then in Matthew 26:64, Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. And he spoke, and they were more incensed. That is the thing with opponents. Nothing you say will matter. They wanted Jesus to appear like he had been contemptuous of the law and his priests and eventually God. In John 18:23, Jesus answered him, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? But did Jesus speak the truth? Yes. But since it affected their fiefdom, he had to be taken out. They called Jesus a blasphemer. They called him a liar, but generally believed. They achieved this by putting his teaching against personalities and made it sound like it never was. They did the same to Paul in Acts 21:28, crying out, men of Israel, help. This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple and had polluted this holy place. They will rally crowds against you. They will use the media, the TV, the conferences. They will use Facebook and other platforms to make men not listen to you. Paul ensured they never stop him. In fact, in the presence of the authorities, he gave one of the most daring teachings in the book of Acts. Acts 26:18, verse 22-23. To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Verse 22. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. 23. That Christ should suffer, and I should be the first that should be risen, that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Paul was so persuasive. In fact, Felix had to scream in Acts 26:24. And as he does speak for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. That's the power of conviction. We do not compromise for acceptance. We do not compromise for platforms to speak or doors. In fact, Paul went further in Acts 26:25-27. But he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I'm persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Such grit of conviction. The king had to commend too. The king couldn't resist the persuasiveness of Brother Paul. Verse 28 of Acts 26. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Glory to God. Paul equipped further in Acts 26:29. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but all those that hear me this day, we are both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. This is not being seeker sensitive. This was his message. This means no letting up, no backing out. Put the word out. They will hear it in their bedrooms. Thank God for technology. You do not need a skyscraper cathedral to reach thousands and millions of men. Rather, find every media and put it there. God's word is not bound. God's word is not bound. In spite of persecution, God's word is not bound. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. Brother Paul said, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. No matter what they call your ministry, do not let anyone stop your work. If some churches, ministers, or some believers do not receive you, others will. Because Matthew 10:14 says, and whosoever shall not receive nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Never allow anyone stop your momentum. Never allow anyone stop your momentum. Speaking evil of ministers of the word is legendary. It did not just start. Brother Paul spoke of this too in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 8 and 9. 2 Corinthians 6, 8 and 9. By honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed. Keep your eyes on the ball. Stay full of the word and prayer. Keep your eyes on the ball. Stay full of the word and prayer. No amount of diplomacy convinces opponents of the message. Be more aggressive. Ensure you're not getting personal with anyone. Do not get rude or petulant. Speak the truth in love. In Acts chapter 4, verse 15, Paul says to them, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Ephesians 4, 15. Love detests false doctrines. It is not hypocrisy. Hence, the context of speaking the truth in love is to prevent false teachers. Prevent false teachers. That's speaking the truth in love. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Ephesians 4, 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sly of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Many whose mouth speak the truth in love do not even know what it means. Never mind them. Stay focused on your work. And just like Brother Paul in Melita, things will turn around much later. Because in Acts chapter 28, verse 10, verse 23, verse 30 to 31, Acts 28, verse 10, 23, verse 30 to 31. Who also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they loaded us with such things as were necessary. And when they had appointed him a day, there came to him many into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Like E.W. Kenyon, who was labeled a heretic in his days, yet his books have brought the revelation of Christ's redemption and the new creation to the church more than anyone else in the 20th century. But in his day, they call him heretic. But his books has brought Christ's redemption and that revelation and the revelation of the new creation more than anyone else in the 20th century. He kept writing and never waned. I encourage you as I do me. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain things. Glory to God. Glory to God. That's how to handle persecutions. Father, I pray for every student of this class that these realities resonate in our hearts and minds. Thank you for the wisdom of your word. We are sold out to the advancement of your kingdom. And thank you that every day our resilience is becoming very loud. We're not backing down. We are not slowing down. We are more aggressive than ever until the whole earth is filled with the fragrance of Jesus, until the reality of Christ is proclaimed everywhere. And we thank you for the privilege to be co-laborers with you. Thank you for grace. Thank you for strength. Thank you for peace. Thank you for platforms to make known the mystery of Christ. We give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. All right, two questions for this class. Two questions. Number one question. Highlight practical ways persecution can come to a minister. Highlight practical ways persecution can come to a minister. Highlight practical ways persecution can come to a minister. Question two. Counsel a fellow minister on how to handle persecution. Counsel a fellow minister on how to handle persecution. Counsel a fellow minister on how to handle persecution. Glory to God. All right, Pastor Sean, that's it from me today.